I'm Augie.
I'm Spike.
Welcome to Between Two Cents.
The people have spoken, Augie, and they've said that they're feeling pumped about 2024. Everyone's saying they think it's going to be a good year. How are you feeling? What are your plans for 2024? How are you feeling, man?
I don't know, man. I'm really excited, and I feel like I've never had like my sights set on what I'm aiming for more in my entire life. But at the same time, I'm so tired. And like usually, I guess there's like that energy at the start of the year where you go, okay, I'm ready to climb this mountain. But at this moment, I'm kind of feeling like I'm already at like 40-50% energy. And I'm like, all right, I got to make 40-50% energy last the whole year, which scares me a little bit.
It's also because, like, you know, home time and family time.
Yeah.
It's not rest time.
No.
It's a lot of work.
No.
And you know, I'm not saying it's not fun, but the time off is kind of like back in the studio. And
yeah.
I reckon for artists and creative, that regenerates your energy sources, right?
Yeah, 100%.
You know, when you're back in making music and locking into what you love doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's different.
I think a lot of things that, like, the biggest questions that I get a lot is, how are you being a family man and also pursuing what you were pursuing? And I know a lot of people who are scared to jump into family because they are thinking, well, I'll have to just completely lose myself and have to quit everything that I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I am really proud that you and I are kind of firing on all cylinders.
Yeah.
But there are times where I just really am like, man, how am I doing this? How am I holding up the family and like 100%. Pursuing this at 100%.
Yeah. And I think the scales as well, like they tend to shift, you know, sometimes it's like more work and then sometimes it's more family.
Yeah.
And I think the best advice I got is like during those periods where you always feel like something's kind of failing, it's to not beat yourself up. Because I think as a creative, it's so much about your hustle and workflow and opening the doors yourself. There's no one really patting you on the back and pushing you. So you always feel like you need to keep working harder.
Yeah.
But I think the best thing is like in those moments where family needs you more, you just do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, you do it. And then when you have that more time for creativity, we do that. But I think the benefit that we have this year is like through 2023, we slowly have built a little team.
Yeah.
Around 100%. Augie. So we've offloaded a lot of tasks that are still getting done even when we can't necessarily get in the studio.
Yeah, 100%. I think not doing it alone is crucial. And that's how, especially living, like, you know, having family life pumping out so difficult, having work life, having creative life, like all of this stuff, having a team around you where you can outsource and offload is honestly the only route that I feel like we can take.
Yeah. Well, making music by yourself is boring.
Yeah. And it sucks to be by yourself.
I mean,
yeah.
I spent like the first, you know what, I've spent like 12 years essentially kind of by myself. You spend time by yourself trying to get good at what you're doing, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Like you can't do that any other way.
Yeah.
You have to work on the discipline and upskill yourself and
try and
master your craft first, right?
Before I definitely wanted to write my first raps in my room where no one could hear them.
Well, I wrote my first beats in my room and then shared them and they were absolutely terrible. But yeah. I think, you know, I spoke many years ago about embracing your shitness.
Yeah, you have to. You have to get through the shit.
Yeah. And you just need to also not beat. You know what? You just need to not beat yourself up at any stage of the process, right? Because at the beginning, you're suffering from being crap.
Yeah.
Unless you're one of those people who think you're amazing, which is also lovely, but might be a little bit naive.
Yeah, yeah.
But sure. I think just going through the whole creative process and being able to just enjoy, really enjoy the journey. Like we know where we want to get to.
Yeah.
But I reckon in hindsight, when people get that success, it's actually looking back and reflecting on like everything it took up until that point, where the point always tends to feel underwhelming when they reach that, the top of the mountain, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I struggle with that a lot. And like my wife always points that out. You always point that out of just, I'm a person that struggles with embracing the journey and enjoying it. There's times where I'm doing great and I'll like get into this mode where I just think I figured it out. And I know the formula, But then I'll hit rocky times again, and then I just won't be really satisfied with where I'm at. And that's when, you know, guys like Spike or people just around me will just say, you know, you do this because you love it. You know, like, take away all the factors, all the time pressure, all the goals that you place on yourself. If you, I'd like to think if I could map out my perfect day, what would that day include? And it would be creating something. It would be making something that where, you know, I put my life into a song, and then I make a video, and I make people smile, I make people laugh, I make people feel something. That's a part of what my ideal day is. So in that case, I'm winning right now because we're still pursuing this and we're doing this. And then the day-to-day becomes the win. It's a grind, and I jump out of that a lot.
Yeah, I think, like I always talk about sustainability, how long can we do something for before burning out? Because you go really hard, and also the mental battles and all that kind of stuff. But I just think sometimes, like, pulling back on a few things to create some space, like have a little bit of time to yourself, or whether that's like you like to go to the sauna.
Heat it up to 2,000 degrees.
You know, the producer-artist relationship, what's a positive collaboration for you based on your experiences that you've maybe had and ones that you're having now?
Yeah. I think it's really cool that when we linked up, first of all, we both kind of had the same ear for what we like and what we don't like and what we thought was cool. I've worked with some producers in the past, or even if they were like amazing people, but maybe what they thought was cool and what they thought sounded good or hit hard, you know, we just weren't on the same page with that. And then besides that, I just think just mindset of where are we taking this, you know, and what's the plan, and having that long-term mentality of, you know, we're gonna build this from the ground up. It's gonna take time, but I know you're going 100% in your side of the deal, and I'm gonna go 100%. I'm gonna honor that because I see you going hard. You know, I'm gonna write as many songs as I can. I'm gonna show up to the studio anytime I have any free time. You know, I'm gonna get to the studio. You know, I'm gonna be making content, and it's just that commitment level is there as well. And yeah, I just think. I don't know. I know there's a lot of artists and there's a lot of producers who are killing for the dynamic that we have. You know, yeah. What are your thoughts? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, no, 100%, man. I've worked with a lot of artists and tried many times to do development, but I think, you know, I was having a conversation with an associate the other day about, like, the first step is trying to find the talent. Like, the talent is hard to find. Someone who you resonate with. Mm-hmm. On your level, you know, when you're looking for someone, you want to find someone who's like, oh, I can hear them doing this, or I have a kind of vision for them.
Yeah.
and having that musical connection that you're on the same plate. But the hardest thing to find, I think, for the producer-artist relationship is finding an artist who is also business savvy. And look, the producer needs to be business savvy in the first place. Like, if you're a producer and you're doing it full time, you're probably business savvy. If you're not doing it full time yet, then that's like, it's part of what you need to work on, you know? Because if you want to make music a full-time career, no one's going to do anything for you. You got to build it yourself. So yeah. I think if you've done that as a producer and establish your business first, I think that's a great idea. That's what I spent most of my years doing, like establishing the business so I could do full-time music and make a living. And then my passion project is, like, at the end of the day, I want to be writing the music I want to write. So it's not to say with people I produce, I'm not enjoying it. I definitely enjoy the process. But, you know, to really have complete creative control in this type of collaboration is really exciting, and to think up whole album concepts, which we've done.
I think of our songs just as much yours as mine.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
It's just a complete joint venture, each one.
100%.
You know, which you don't get to do with, like, a paid client all the time.
Yeah. Because they steer it more, and you need to listen to what their needs and expectations are.
Yeah.
Where it's like, if I don't like it, I'm like, bro, it sucks. No, but it's also building the relationship, you know, like, if you do a vocal take, it's not that it ever sucks. It's like, I know if you can do better.
Yeah.
When maybe sometimes you're not sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, I'm hearing you're in the moment and I'm hearing it.
Mm.
So sometimes I'm able to tell you like, oh, bro, let's do another one or let's try this. You know? Yeah. And I think as in our collaboration, we're able to pull things out of each other with suggestions and ideas like, try this. And it's something that maybe I haven't thought of and vice versa, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's what the real positive producer-artist collaboration is.
Yeah.
And I saw, just on that note, I saw a post the other day on the gram. I think it was another podcast show, but they were basically saying like, you know, if you're going into the studio with a big artist, how many beats are you bringing? And I saw Timbaland comment on it and he's like, why can't we just cook up in the studio together? And for me, it's like, I've never.
Oof.
That's all. That's awkward. Thanks, bro. That's love. I've never connected with the idea of making like 10, 20 beats.
Yeah.
And then like going to a session and going through 10, 20 beats and being like, do you like it?
Yeah.
What do you think of that one?
What do you think of this one? Yeah. I'm looking for like a Travis Scott type.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't fuck with that. I love the idea of like what we do, which is, you know what I really love? Sorry, so many ideas here. But what I really love is like back in the day, most people were making complete works. And what that meant was there was a sound through the whole album. I actually love now that artists are just writing whatever the hell they want. Because for us, that makes it super exciting. Like, we go from genre to genre. And we did do a complete works because it was an experience.
Yeah.
But I think it is exciting. Firstly, cooking up in the studio on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing excites me more than that. Being in the creative.
Having it come together is just so exciting.
And then you're like, damn, you know, like in 2-3 hours, we have a whole song with instrumental vocals. It's like the whole song is there.
Yeah.
And then we'll usually come back and maybe do a revision if something's not sitting well.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that beautiful initial process of just being in the studio and just going with your intuition and creating with no kind of expectation of like, I'm producing for Kanye, we have to hit it. You know, like, I can't say moving forward we've written a bad song, even though some songs exceed the other ones.
Yeah.
There's no real such thing as a bad song. You know, it's just like another song. Where a lot of artists, you know, talk to me about this, like a lot of artists are writing one song every 3 to 4 months.
Yeah.
And then what's the expectation?
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, I've put everything into this song over 4 months. If you're writing a song a week, it's like, it's just another one.
Exactly. Yeah. Now my mentality, I'm so disattached emotionally from putting it out there. Because now I'm just so catalog minded. And I found, you know, we were talking about business mindsets and you're talking about from the producer aspect, like from the artist aspect. It is nice to disattach myself and have that volume mindset instead of the, I'm going to put my whole heart and soul and talk about how my girlfriend broke up with me in this song. And everyone needs to stop what they're doing for 3 minutes and 10 seconds and listen to this because it means a lot to me.
She
like
broke my goddamn heart, that girl did.
Yeah.
Like Jennifer, it's, come back here.
having that volume mindset is just a smart business move. And also I'll never forget, just on top of, I know we're just like doing a lot of different kind of bits and pieces here, but you know, one of the first times I met you, well, the second time I met you, which he has no recollection of, I came here to get some producing tips. So like I came here to like record a verse, but then I actually did like 5 sessions with him where he taught me how to mix and master and produce my own beats. And he has no recollection of it for whatever reason, but I must have
really said you made a good impression, Miss Dog.
But I remember in that time he was like, look, man, you can do this by yourself, being an artist and a producer, but just expect that it's going to take an extra 10 years because, you know, you've put in the hard yards where I've come to, you know, I was writing for like 7-8 years at that point. So he was like, you're almost there being a songwriter, but to be a producer and to be someone who mixes and masters their own track like a Russ, that's going to take you an extra 10 years. Even like Russ was making beats at like 12, 13 years old and he was writing songs. So there's just no way around the work. And so if you're somebody who really wants to make this a career path, I think partnering up with somebody that covers that weakness, and if you can come to an agreement of, hey, we got a long-term mentality, so we're going to make it work with the resources we have now. There's no other way I could be putting out this high quality of a product without Spike. Like, if Spike left, you would hear, like, a drop of, like, oh, okay, he lost some certain things.
If I was rapping, bro. Like, I can't rap. I mean, I want to think I can.
Yeah.
I mean, I spit some lyrics sometimes.
You got some bars. You got some bars.
Not clean ones.
No. They're usually pretty edgy.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't do it without the other side as well. But to be honest, man, like, the Russ thing, to have that level of self-confidence and fulfillment, like, for me, I love people and I love community and I love events. And I actually prefer being in the studio with others. Like, for me, still coming up, you know, it's like my main goal was I wanted to write for big artists because I wanted to write at that level. Yeah. But like, being able to do this collaboration and I feel like we are writing at that level, that's fulfilling for me.
Yeah.
That's why I said many times, like, forget the top of the mountain. Like, even if we didn't get to the top of the mountain, like, this is incredibly fulfilling for me as a producer, just to be able to creatively write whatever we want and, you know, write songs that I love writing. And at the end of the day, you know, I really feel like we want to get to the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
But even so, the only thing I want more is to be doing it every day.
Yeah.
You know, like, if we could do it 3-4 times a week instead of 2 times a week,
yeah,
that's like the next level up for me.
Yeah.
That's why for me, like, I want to monetize off this as a business and make money from it. So we can just like go, hey, let's just like go to the studio 4 days this week and take our families to the, you know, away for the weekend.
Yeah. For me, it's also important to eventually get to a place where thousands, if not millions of people go, I resonate with this. And like, how do you wholesomely justify that?
Yeah. Well, I think there's another question here. The question is like, if you want to be famous, why? Because there are many, many artists in 2023 who you and I who have never heard of who are making great money.
Yeah.
Who are making money that is giving them a full-time music career, who are not at that level of fame. So it's like, the first question is, why do you want to be famous? Is it because you want to have that financial independence and that flexibility to do whatever you want? That's why I want money. So I have flexibility to do what I want whenever I want.
Yeah.
I'm blessed to do music full time, but I have to come to work.
I feel the same. Yeah.
You know, to earn a dollar, and I'm blessed that I can do it through music. But at the end of the day, I don't want to have to come to the studio. I want to come to the studio.
Yeah.
And most days I do, but I think that's the difference. Like, we have this warped concept of like fame equals money, but fame often causes a lot of unhappiness. You know, people are so blinded by this like carrot on the end of the stick chasing money that when they catch the carrot, it's not it.
I just want to be able to do what I love for a living and own more of my time back. And it would be a dream come true for music to be the product that gets me there.
I used to feed off negative comments when I performed back in the day. Because when someone gives you a compliment, it feels nice for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
You were amazing. And you're like, thanks. But it's awkward. It's just like, okay.
Yeah.
You almost don't really believe it.
Yeah.
When someone says something negative, you're like, mother.
I got proved.
Yeah, I got it. You know, like once when I was on stage, well, I was performing overseas, and one of the comments I got from like some press or something was like, he came across a little bit arrogant.
Yeah.
And I was really hurt because I was trying to project confidence.
Yeah.
And my confidence was misconstrued for arrogance.
Yeah.
So for me, like the next time I went on stage, it was a challenge. Mm. How can I come across as confident without looking like an arrogant asshole?
Mm.
Like you look at Russ, I think he got a lot of confidence from his mum, right? Just from the interviews I saw, and he had daddy issues, but this drive to like save his mother, that was like his fulfillment and his carrot on the stick.
Yeah.
There's people who have that from like adversity.
Yeah.
They want to chase, you know, to get themselves out of that. For us, it's like, I feel like we're pretty privileged. Privileged white boys. Like we've had our fair share of
the trauma of not having trauma.
Yeah, I mean, we've had our fair share of traumas, at the end of the day, like we have a roof over our head and food, and we're blessed that we can do what we want to pursue.
Yeah. You know?
Anyway, let's sum it up.
Yeah.
I'm Spike.
I'm Augie.
And you've been watching Between Two Scenes. We will see you next week with a new episode. But you, the people, please give us some suggestions of things we want to, you'd like us to cover. I think it's special producer-artist relationships and workflow. We want to talk about that more. Yeah. And we also want to touch things on the industry that are relevant.
100%. Tech, you know, tips world for domination. Creation. Yeah, taking over the world, you know. Yeah.
North Korea.
Yeah, 100%. It's all intertwined.
Yeah, it's all about the music, you know.
All right.
All right, peace.
Bye.
Catch you next week.
Need a better outro.